This recording is with permission from Scholastic Limited. Chapter 17. The crickets have stopped their noise. The sun had fallen, but the air was still hot enough to make every breath feel heavy. We ran up to make up lost time, chasing the sun across the sky. First started as a nagging thought, but soon became all I could think about. Saliva turned into a paste in my mouth that I struggled to swallow. A headache clamped tight around my skull. I'm too hot. I stopped to pull off my tunic top. No, Mally grabbed my hand. You need to keep the layers on. It will stop the moisture from your sweat evaporating. I pulled my tunic down, feeling the panic beast crawl into my chest, against my heart that beat too fast. The thirst was suffocating. Now we plodded at walking pace, neither is able to move any faster. Tao sniffed at something to the side of the dusty path. Bones. I could make out the spiralling horns of a short-tailed buck, pointing upwards at the blue sky. The empty eye sockets watched me as I walked past, leaving me with a feeling of dread. Time turned to treacle. Are we almost there? Everything looked white, too bright. Mally weaved along the path. I could only watch as she almost stumbled into a burrow hole, my tongue too clumsy to shout a warning. I thought about the lake, the beautiful sparkling lake, the cold on my skin, opening my mouth and letting water flow in, filling me up, diving down into the dark part of the lake. I could almost hear splashing, pouring, cascading water. Where am I? For a moment I thought I could hear the croak of the spadefoots that lived in the mud. I could hear the fisher folk chatting to each other, reeling in their lines. But all I could see was Tao and Mally and the cracked earth path. Mally tumbled, smacking into the dust with a thump. I staggered over to her. Thirsty, she muttered at me. You have to get up. I tried to pull her up, but she wasn't budging. I slumped down next to her. It felt good to stop walking. Can't move any more, she mumbled. She closed her eyes. Maybe we can just rest for a moment. I felt so tired. I let my eyelids shut, remembering the last time I'd seen Caleb, when he'd fallen asleep in my arms next to the hearth. Close your eyes and breathe in deep. Clods of dirt landed on my lap. I opened my eyes to see Tao digging in the ground. What's he doing? I wondered without much curiosity. Everything felt like a dream. Tao grunted as he strained against something in the ground, and his teeth clamped onto whatever it was. With a jerk of his head, the something came loose and dragged over to me. It looked like a huge plant root, pale white with worm-like tubes extending out of it. The root felt spongy as I wiped the dirt off it. What is it? Mally opened her eyes. Her mouth was cracked in the corners, just like I could feel mine was too. Suddenly, she made a strange squawking sound and grabbed the roots out of my hands. I tried to grab it back off her, but she battered my hands away. It's an alka root. She fumbled for her knife and unheathed it. What are you doing? I felt a rush of alarm at the sight of the sharp blade. Mally stabbed the root up to the hilt. Liquid dribbled out. Feeling dazed, I watched Mally put her lips to the cut and slurp noisily. As if noticing me for the first time, she made another incision. Drink, she handed me the root. I copied what she'd done. The salty, sweet liquid poured into my mouth, soothing my painful and swollen tongue and swilling down my parched throat. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever tasted. We drank from the root, squeezing the plant between our hands and channeling the water down our thumbs to capture the moisture in our mouths. I would have cried if my dry eyes had let me. Mally let out a burst of laughter. Your goat is pretty useful. His name's Tao. I hugged him so tight he wiggled out of my embrace. Mally stood up and pulled me onto my feet, both of us feeling wobbly. You ready to carry on? Mally looked concerned. Or should we rest for a bit in the shade? We don't really have much choice. It's going to start getting dark soon. Now that I felt more alert, I noticed a softening of the sky, the blue turning into pink. Besides, the water from the plant had given me back some strength, enough to get us to the refuge hut, I hoped. We walked along, squishing the last moisture out of the root into our mouths. As the sun travelled further west, the air cooled. We kept quiet to save energy. With the temperature drop, the crickets started their evening noise. The high-pitched hum set my nerves on edge. I could feel the moon behind us, waiting below the horizon. The switching hour was close. Mally pulled the map out of her pack and studied it as we walked. We're near the refuge hut, she muttered. Her cheeks were flushed, her eyes too bright. She didn't look well. Spending so much time exposed to the sun had done her more harm than it had to me. Tao ran ahead, close enough that I could hear the patter of his hooves on the hard-packed ground. I stopped and grabbed hold of Mally's arm. She winced at the pressure of my fingers. "What's wrong?" she said. "The crickets have stopped their noise." The long grass was eerily silent. I unhooked the latch that kept my axe secure and clutched the handle tightly. Nothing made a sound. I started walking again, but Mally grabbed my arm and pulled me back to a stop. She held a finger to her lips and motioned for me to listen. "We need to go," I whispered fiercely. Mally cocked her head to one side. "I heard something," she said. Then I heard it too, the small sound of a baby crying. It came from further into the forest, the dark space in the middle of the thicket of needlethorn trees. "It's a baby." Mally tightened her grip on my arm, pinching my skin. My heart fluttered like a trapped bird in a cage. I knew that sound. I tried to pull her away. "No, it's not. It's another trick. We need to get to the refuge before the switching hour begins." The baby cried louder. It sounded closer this time, just out of sight. Mally planted her feet against my pulling. Tao bleated. His ears twitched this way and that. I put a hand on his back to try and calm him. "Mally, you have to trust me. I've heard it before." "Badeko can mimic the sound of a baby crying, but it's not real. We have to leave now." The dark was seeping into the light. The sun was beginning to set. "Badeko takes people away, doesn't it?" I couldn't tell if she was talking to me. Her foot swished the grass and lined the dirt path. "What are you doing, Mally?" I clamped my fingers around her arm. The cry sounded once more. The noise was so familiar, I didn't like it. It didn't sound like a baby anymore. It sounded like a toddling, a bawling sound that filled my head. "It's not real," I whispered, but I heard the flicker of doubt in my words. "I've heard it before." My breath caught in my throat. It was the sound that Caleb made when I threw Mimar, his ragdoll, into the fire. I remembered the sting of hurt in his voice. "Caleb," I whispered. My fingers loosened their grip. Mally shrugged me away and stepped off the path. I snatched for her, but it was too late. She disappeared between the trees. The crying stopped. The crickets resumed their chirruping as if they'd never paused. "Mally!" I shouted after her. "If I go into the forest, then we'll both be lost." I stared at Tao as if he had the answer, but he just watched me with his brown eyes. He trembled but didn't bolt. "Mally!" I called again at the space where she had disappeared, but she didn't answer. "Come on, Tao, we have to find her." We stepped off the trail and towards a thicket of trees.